I not learn music?
X-R-A-D.
No!
Just the good stuff, baby.
Hell yeah.
Oh, it's Rare Disease Day. Happy Rare Disease Day, everybody.
I feel like it's a bad omen.
Let's talk about them. What have you got?
All right. We're going live.
All right.
Now we're live.
Hi, everyone.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild boys that I bit away.
So what's the story? Because we all took a break for Sean's wedding.
Yeah, so yep. Sean got married, Will got engaged to be married, and I married the Blade.
Tyler finally had 7 years of studying the Blade, and now he's prepared.
I have Wesley Snipes. Yeah, I have a Hawkeye backstory that kind of happened in between recording. You know, he had to go, he went to Japan, and he fought people with swords instead of his.
Yeah.
He was already Hawkeye, though. I think his Hawkeye backstory was just he just picked up the bow one day and was like, hey, Linda Cardellini, I'm going to be Hawkeye. Yeah.
You go, Jeremy Renner, Hawkeye.
And then he got ran over by an ice truck.
he's doing okay now.
He's doing fine now, yeah.
So you can make that joke.
Here's the thing. I can't. This is truly on a cosmic bullshit scale, but I feel like the less we heard from Jeremy Renner, the more wild and out Bradley Cooper got, and
I was about to say Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, there needs to be a restoration of balance, because now Bradley Cooper saying like, I don't know who that, he's like, he's talking about his daughter, and it's like, at 8 months, I didn't know that kid, I don't know what's going on. He's like saying like, if someone came in with a gun, would I stop them? I don't know.
What prompted him? This was like for E! Network. They were probably like, tell us about the new film. And he's like, I would not die for my daughter.
He told 9 months are up. Wouldn't die.
He told Leonard Bernstein's kids that he feels connected to him and misses him every day. A man he never met. To his children.
To be fair, that's every theater kid, though. That is every theater kid.
No.
Yeah.
That went to, at least that went to college for it.
Yeah. I might say the same to Jim Henson's kids. Maybe I'm Seussical.
I watched the SAG Awards the other day, and I haven't seen his film. That film is one of the only films that I haven't watched for the Oscar nomination, you know, all that. And it showed a clip from that movie, and I swear to God, it looked like a satire. Like, he looked hilarious.
Have you seen his Elephant Man adaptation?
No.
Yeah.
No.
He did the Elephant Man, like a small production of it, and he did it without prosthetics. He did it only with making a face.
He like contorts his. There's a 60 minutes. I'm gonna sound so fucking old. I turned 32 while we were away, so I'm gonna sound like it. There's a 60 minutes piece on it where they like show the moment. Here's the thing, guys. When that came out, I was like, I would love to see this. It seems fascinating. They describe John Merrick, and like he contorts himself as they describe his deformities, and then he just walks around like that for the rest of the show. The man commits. Who would have thought the star of The Hangover would be here?
Here's the thing about why he's a dork, though, is because he's the star of The Hangover and Guardians of the Galaxy. And he refuses to talk about any of those things and is like, let's talk. And he had a great cameo in the D&D movie. Like, this man is a blockbuster staple. And he's like, you got to take my weird art project seriously. You made all your money in talking raccoon.
Yeah. And also, I'm only bringing my mom to the awards. Wild.
Not that's lame, man. Hate. That's virgin
exactly.
Shit.
His Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, great movie.
Good
performance of Rocket. Sure. Good movie.
Sure.
Do you think if they got Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway to announce Bradley Cooper is best actor, and then they said, "Oh, just kidding, it was Cillian Murphy," you think he'd kill himself?
Yeah.
I think he would right there.
Yeah. I think he'd go even sicko, like even more sicko mode. Like, we'd have to deal with probably a Dr. Seuss biopic next. I don't know what else he's got in the can. I feel like Dr. Seuss is not far from him, though.
Yeah. What what pretentious project is he? Dab it up. Pretentious project are we going to be having next?
He's going to play the unknown in the in what that Doctor the Wonka. Yeah. I'd see a movie based on that.
What a magical experience.
They made a movie based on the GameStop thing. Surely they can make a movie based on this Wonka experience.
Yeah.
Was that good?
No. I watched it on the plane. It wasn't that great.
Okay. It sounded good. It's got Paul Dano.
Yeah. Paul Dano's, you know, he's great. He's great in anything he does, but it's also got Pete Davidson.
Great in anything he does.
Yeah.
He was fun in Bodies, 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 but that's only because he's the first, spoilers, one murdered. Yeah. That's a good movie, though.
He was going to see that right after this.
Yeah. Oh, Tyler, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I've got it queued up on the Plex server. All right, just got to finish this podcast and I can go watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
I hope I don't find out who the first one is. I will say, sidestepping, it's been 5 months, folks. We're out of practice, so you got to deal with it. But Bodies, Bodies, Bodies does have one of my all-time favorite cameos in a recent picture. So I recommend you watch it through the end. You'll see a familiar face that you're like, what the hell are they doing here? And it'll just brighten up your day.
Is it Matt Damon?
No. Good guess.
There was a Letterboxd list this week of like movies where Matt Damon shows up, and I could think of two off the top of my head that they missed.
Yes.
Matt Damon loves just appear in a movie.
Yeah. He just loves 1 or 2 days on set and collecting that check.
Exactly.
Brand says they put Matt Pat in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Welcome, everyone. This is as good a time as any to do the thing. Whatever it's called, the introduction. I forget what it's called. What are the parts of the podcast? I forgot the podcast anatomy.
Yeah, the doc we're working off of is just bullet points. It's no longer the Oxford outline anymore.
We've abandoned the MLA format for the new year.
Yeah.
Today's episode is going to be kind of a recap of February 2024, the year of our Lord.
We're not going to tell you shit about October, November, December, or January. That you gotta find out on your own. Nothing happened.
We'll make references, but you'll have to buy the junior novelization of this episode to get the full scope. the light novel.
Everything that happened between last episode and this episode is like a Netflix movie. Like, you have to watch it separately. And it plays the last two episodes of last season two in the beginning, so you got to fast forward through that shit. Or at least show up to the theater late.
Rideish Podcast, Mugen Train. I'm Will. And this 97-year-old podcast is still making their episodes the old-fashioned way.
We're
I'm like cranking my preamp. Like, that's how it's powered.
I knew you were cranking your preamp when I logged on.
I'm Sean. That about sums it up.
Dang. You had 6 months.
Yeah.
We gave you so long. You said, I can't come back yet. I haven't thought of a superlative.
I need to think of a superlative.
I'm Tyler, and I've killed a man since the last time we recorded. It was not self-defense. Podcasts are like music. You can't use it in court. You can admit anything on a podcast.
Yeah, they don't let you play music in court.
Tyler, I'm not endorsing this, but I am fascinated to see what the Netflix documentary would look like if, like, he admitted it on a podcast like 2 months later.
Podcast killer. It was in between dick jokes. I mean,
honestly, that'd be good for our backlog if we still have a lot of that open. People be like, I gotta listen to the Murderers podcast.
Yeah, right. One of us has actually got to kill someone, and then we'll get some real traction here.
One of us should do a national crime.
I tried some international crimes like 2 years ago, but, you know, Scott Scotland Yard never came after me, so I'm all right. Speaking of,
you know what we need, you know what we need to bring back is robbing trains. You don't hear about people robbing trains anymore.
We don't Put on an old
kerchief, get on a train.
They made that movie.
Do you know how many people are on a train?
What?
Like a cargo train? Do you know how many crew members are on a train?
Like one.
Yeah, it's two, I think. I think there has to be, and they're aiming to make it one or nothing with like autonomous stuff.
So that makes it easier to rob.
Yeah, especially if it's like strong. Unless he's like one big strong guy.
Or
that's true.
They electrify the whole train.
Damn.
So, you know, you hop on, you get immediately buzzed. Any like deer or anything that touches it, just
I would wear a cowhide suit to be totally insulated.
Just walking down the tracks in Kennesaw, Georgia, in like full Western gear, trying to face down a freight train.
Well, there I don't was a think kid from my suicidal. College who famously jumped on top of a moving train and rode it through the city of Atlanta. So,
hell yeah,
that's true.
They found him in a ditch. He's okay.
For that. Oh boy.
Oh, shall we get into it?
I forgot whether Tyler introduced himself, but then I remembered he copped to a murder.
Yeah. I just forgot about it.
He's just got that charm, man. Yeah.
Good, good.
I do want to... Kate Middleton, Duchess of York. Cambridge?
Yeah. Oh, York. Okay. I'm glad you cleared that. I'm glad you added that.
Hasn't been seen since, like, late December.
December 26th.
And where her father-in-law has been, like, in and out of the hospital with notices. Like, when Kate went in, she had, like, a public notice go out. But she hasn't, like, King Charles has been seen and photographed in many different ways as he's, like, going through his cancer process. But Kate, nowhere to be seen.
The London paparazzi are notorious for being able to catch these guys. Harry came in and visited his father for 15 minutes and flew out, and they still caught him. Kate Middleton has not been seen since December 26th. I think she's run away. She's got to be like in a Himalayan village right now, head completely shaved. She's repeating, you know. I think that they know where she is, and they'll activate her whenever they need to activate her again. Mm. But until then, she's going to be, you know.
Have they released a statement? Because usually when stuff like this happens, they're like, guys, Kate's alive. He's right here.
They haven't since the internet's been joking about it, but
they let us know that she went home from the hospital, like I think January. But apart from that, she hasn't been seen out or making any appearances while her husband's been frightening young women at the BAFTAs.
That picture with Ayo, like
it's just like it is interesting. Peyton brought it to my attention. Producer Peyton, now wife Peyton, brought it to my attention.
Wait, did you say it could be both? Wife?
Yeah, it could be both. Yeah. That was kind of misogynistic, Sean.
It's a conflict of interest. Wait, which
she's
part's
no longer a producer. Now she's the wife.
Wife Peyton, wife producer. I'm going to say wife producer.
That's still misogynistic. That seems like you're making a lesser position, Sean.
Also, producer, wife producer then. Sounds like
producer,
a different job.
OPW.
Hey, it's me, the wife producer. Who do you want?
But she brought it to my attention like late January. I was like, I guess so. That does make sense. Like, I don't keep up with news on the Royals all that much, but it's hard to avoid it, even though we're American. But I'd like to think that she binged all of The Crown now that it's over, and she's just kind of real conflicted.
She's
about
like,
it.
Oh shit, these people are bad.
Oh, fuck.
What did I get myself into?
I think she has the novel coronavirus.
She's at Walter Reed.
They airlifted her across the ocean to Walter Reed.
Do you guys know, we're recording this on Leap Day. A little peek behind the curtain there. The last Leap Day was like, it was reported that we got the first case, like confirmed case of the coronavirus in the U.S.
Damn.
It's been 4 years since then.
It was just after the Chiefs and the
49ers.
The 49ers played in the Super Bowl. And it was an election year where Joe Biden faced Donald Trump.
Well, I know one of three of those things is not happening again. Wait.
Yeah. And Brand says, and look where we are now. At least they cured it.
Yeah, at least, hey, we got vaccines, but everything else is still just, bleh.
At least it's gone. At least there's no more coronavirus, right, guys?
Yeah. I mean, the one you get now is like Coke Zero. Well, Except the one you get in Florida. That stuff's the worst. I've been to Florida twice in the past 3 years. I have gotten the only case of COVID I've gotten has been from Florida twice, and it's almost killed me.
Jesus Christ.
It just stews down there.
Yeah.
It's like a Petri dish. What's DeSantis doing? COVID. Nothing.
No, nothing.
Brian's
at all.
In Florida. I'm so sorry, Brian. You'll be different.
Run.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brandon, sure, it's fine for you.
Vaccinated. Yeah. 2020 didn't. We got Doom Part 2 also. That's coming out. So.
Well, Doom Part 1 was 2021, 22?
Yeah, it was 2022.
Okay.
It was, you know, we were good. But 2020, we were like, oh, wow, they're making a Doom movie. Interested to see
this
how
is
that
gonna
is.
This suck.
Now Doom Part 2 is coming out, and I'm fucking hyped as hell. Can't wait. Seeing it. Matinee Sunday. Gonna tell the priest at church. Wrap it up. Gotta go to Arrakis. Let's do it.
Should we talk about this Wonka thing?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's the elephant. It's the unknown in the room.
Yeah.
What is that? It's the unknown.
For people who are living under a rock, what is the best way to describe this? Some dumbasses out there. Put an AI-generated Willy Wonka experience together that puts that YouTube thing to shame. You remember that YouTube event where they just had that ball pit in the middle of a warehouse?
Yeah, DashCon.
Oh,
DashCon. Yeah, that's right. It puts DashCon to shame. They just threw up some posters. They hired the two most depressed-looking people from the street to come in and play Oompa Loompas. Children were terrified. The police were called. People paid for this. And did not get their money back. But it is, I would honestly, if this came to Phoenix, Arizona, I would pay to do this. 100%.
I have some good news. My Facebook feed is nothing but these events. And they go to every dead mall in your area. There was one in Atlanta not too long ago that was like Jurassic Park themed.
Oh.
And they had a mechanical T-Rex that small children would climb up scaffolding and ride on. And it was like on the news because the carnival worker who was working on it took their break while like a 4-year-old was on the back of the T-Rex. And the mom's shooting a video like, he's up there by himself.
Oh, that's great. So,
With AI, you can advertise these absolute bullshit scams, and people... Right. Who are these people who see this Facebook ad and are like, I'm taking my whole family to this?
It's people, a lot of people still on Facebook.
That's true. That's true.
They don't have the AI like literacy yet. They see like, ooh, a magical Willy Wonka land in Glasgow. Can't wait. And of course they go to an abandoned warehouse and looks like
that. I'm also
that.
Curious, who's still interested in Willy Wonka? That movie came out last year with Timothy Chalamet, and it did well. Man. It did really well. Who's watching this?
I didn't know it came out.
Oh, you watched it, Sean?
I haven't watched it, but I will watch it. Once it hits streaming, it's okay. Here's the thing. It's directed by Paul King.
So you have your own weird reasons for this. I'm talking about normies.
He directed Paddington and Paddington 2, and I've heard it's a real charmer despite everything. So I'm not eager to see it, but I will watch it, and I'm sure it's fine.
I wasn't going to watch it, but then I saw the IHOP tie-in and tried some of the IHOP items that were tied into Wonka, and it really sold me on the movie. Now I have type 2 diabetes also.
I'm going to shove 8 everlasting gobstoppers in my mouth and just watch Wonka.
No.
Try to guess every flavor. just get that gobstopper drool. Yeah.
The songs are good.
The only thing that gives me any faith in AI anymore is the fact that while it was creating the script for this Willy Wonka experience, it created a wholly new character of the unknown, an evil candy maker who lives in the walls of Willy Wonka's factory and also somehow carries around a door-length mirror.
You think it'd be hard to make chocolate if you were living in the walls, but like,
it would be extra hard to make chocolate wearing an extra long cloak and a Greek chorus mask that this creature is wearing. It's scaring children. That's the best part about the whole thing is the clip of the guy playing Willy Wonka going, "What is that?" And then the kids crying at this thing that's slithering behind a door mirror that they bought at Target that morning. It is amazing.
Yeah, you expect to show up and see a chocolate river, maybe see an Oompa Loompa. Instead, there's just a Dementor hiding behind the set.
The Babadook is there.
For all of those, including us, who enjoyed those videos of adults dressing like the Grinch and ransacking a child's Christmas, this is like the ultimate level of that, where it's just like a guy in a mask and kids are just going, What did they have to drink? It was just like lemonade and like
peanuts. There was a quarter cup of lemonade and they got some jelly beans.
They got three jelly beans exactly.
There's branded Willy Wonka candy available, as far as I know, everywhere. And so cheap.
What if the one jelly bean you got was like the vomit flavored one from Harry Potter? Like
toasted marshmallow. Yeah. I saw a tweet that really encapsulates this. It's that they could have done nothing. They could have shown up and it just been an empty warehouse because they were running a scam. Nothing could have been there.
Yeah.
They did the exact funniest amount of effort, which was some, like they built for what looks to be some sort of chocolate bridge, which was very intricate, but there's no other set pieces.
It looked like they felt bad about it at the 12th hour. They were like, okay, we got to do something here. These are children that we're scamming.
People are buying tickets.
They're other 45 than the, bucks a piece.
It was 45?
Yes.
That is shocking. That is shocking because the videos looked like it was packed. People were coming here expecting something.
People spent over $100 on their family to go to that.
That's ridiculous. Fine. Just go to Disney.
It's been $1,000.
It's been $1,000. At least it's real, and you'll get a full day's worth of stuff. But the second best, other than the unknown, the second best part is the picture of the Oompa Loompa lady who just looks tired. And she's standing at a table of what I can explain as something that you would see if you walked into a Rick and Morty head shop. Like, it looks like an intricate, like... She's at the table. There's smoke everywhere. It's inexplicable. It looks like she's like Elmer Fudd that had like the fucking gun backfire on her. She looks so tired.
The fucking green
they interviewed
box.
Her and she said, I had to just ration one jelly bean per child. Like, no money.
She tried to make it nice for the kids. Like she.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like sweet photo. Like, all the actors involved seem to be like, hey, we tried our best. But man, here's the thing. I'm afraid we're going to learn the wrong, like people are going to learn the wrong lessons of this. It's like, we got to make another shitty event. It'll go viral, like the Wonka thing. And it's just going to be.
You can't try and make a bad event.
Right.
Yeah.
Then you
illiterate
get dash
parents car. Are just going to be.
This thing would have been a flash in the pan had it not been for the slow and steady drip feed of lore we've gotten over the past week.
I know, right?
Because first it was just like, there was a Wonka scam, and everyone was like, ha! Ah. And the next day it was like, there was an original character named The Unknown.
And the only footage we had to go from was like 5 seconds of the children. What is that? It's The Unknown. There's fan art.
See, this is why we have to save Twitter. This is why we need to take Twitter back from Elon Musk, because we can never get stuff like this.
I haven't posted a tweet in like 3 weeks, and this is like, this is the only reason I'm keeping it around, man. It's just for stuff like this.
Well, I was disappointed there was a lot of the chocolate factory represented and not enough of a bunch of old people in a single bed.
Yeah, right.
What if it's just the bucket experience? And it's just like, oh, we're not at the factory yet. You just got to experience Charlie's house.
We're going to put your parents to work. What if?
And
what if
we're only playing Cheer Up Charlie. That's the only song from the soundtrack we got.
What if you walked in and there was just a bed with three old people in it and you could be the fourth and get a photo?
That'd be $45 well spent.
You get to be Aunt Josephine.
Here's the thing. That bed did not look uncomfortable. So that would be pretty fun. It's right in the kitchen. Like, that sounds like an Airbnb to me.
Cozy. You walk in and it's got like the Santa set up where it's just like a photographer.
You just get in, pull up the blanket.
Three senior citizens, just come on in.
Turn and say golden ticket.
Do you want head or foot? Here's your cap.
Yeah, you get the little stocking cap,
and you're able to like get up out of bed and do a little dance. Yeah. the golden ticket in your hand.
Three we very old people and an excited child in the bed.
An excited child dressed up like an old person.
Here's your little bowl of cabbage soup.
We're onto something here. We should do honestly, the Wonka 2 scam.
It's just the bucket. We'll tell people what it is. We'll still make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Be one of the worst characters in cinematic and I forgot what books are called. Literary history. The extended
book world. In the Page Master universe.
What if they're making like an extended book universe, man? What if those characters are coming around?
It's just called writing another book.
Start calling fan fiction the EBU.
The extended book universe. Yo, there's a Moby Dick motif in this book.
Oh, can boy.
You imagine if those like crappy like film accounts, like comic book news reported on books, and they'd be like, here's where the Count of Monte Cristo fits in.
Top 10 buildings Romans.
Toby, don't do that.
All right, Toby, do we want to talk about this third story? I think this is one that all we need to do is read the header of the article.
It's so funny. You go for it, Tyler.
Okay. Mom loses $800,000 disability case after photos emerge of her winning tree throwing competition. That's a shame. Our country's failed her.
I'm gonna post the photo, the tweet here in the chat. It's the most incriminating photo of all time.
They caught her. She was throwing that tree. The coolest thing you've ever seen, but also
her pants say, "I just can't."
I saw someone say it was like an Arrested Development sight gag level.
She is throwing an entire Christmas tree because she said the disability it was physical. It was a disability case that she had a back injury.
Right.
It's not sad.
Yeah, she didn't. Yeah.
She's got trauma. Yeah, she entered a Christmas tree throwing competition and won it.
Did she win $800,000 from this? And they just took it, or?
I think she was going to be awarded that from the...
Amazing.
She had sued an insurance company after a car crash, saying that, you know, she could no longer work. And they said, well, what about this picture? And she said, well...
Karen, how far do you think you could throw a tree right now? Oh, probably not very far at all.
Enough to win.
Low Earth orbit.
The tree is 5 feet tall. That is a lot of money.
That was a child proxy.
If you told me the case is won. It's settled. You're gonna win. Almost $1 million. just make sure no one takes a photo of you throwing a Christmas tree.
Right.
I could probably lock that down.
Yeah. I could wait till next season. I have even more time to train now.
Oh, her name's Kamila Grabska.
Mm.
Oh.
Absolutely. Oh, she like was going to throw a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
100%. I've never met a Kamila that I couldn't think that I would not be able to beat in a battle.
This is... All right.
Trying to parse out the double negatives there. What's the name of... I was trying to think of Rocky's villain.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah. That's an Ivan Drago-esque name. They can't resist throwing trees.
She's also Irish, which I know Cabertas is Scottish, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's in the water there.
I'm going to start training up. That's great.
Dude, Cabertas is awesome.
Is that just logs?
Yeah, it's like telephone poles.
Oh, right.
Jeez. Well, sorry to her. Should have thought about it.
But congrats, though.
But also congrats.
Yeah.
She seems to be
doing better. She won in 2018. It's an old photo.
Oh.
She sued because the car... Now that I'm reading the article, the car crash was in 2017. She sued them recently for 5 years of lost wages, and there's a picture of her in January 2018, months after the event. Not even time to rehab.
I thought it was funny, because I'm pretty good at following the professional tree throwing scene, and I hadn't heard her name in the recent 2023 cycle. So,
well, Sean, you recently threw out your back. Could you... Okay. What could you lift and throw... Now, could you possibly throw a Christmas tree sized thing like now?
I could throw a Christmas tree. I will say, okay. I've since Lent started, I've been doing 20 minute workouts every day. I know.
I gave up not throwing a Christmas tree.
I've been doing 20 minute workouts every weekday. So I'm trying to get back in shape, you know, trying to get to the point where I don't have to worry about sciatica acting up. I was walking like Bradley Cooper in the Elephant Man, y'all. It was bad. It was not good.
Well, I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad we can do this podcast again.
So am I.
Speaking of this podcast, we talk about the good stuff here. And now that
February is wrapping up. We got video games and like a million TV shows.
Yeah. And did anybody bring a book? Nope.
No,
still no one's brought a book ever.
I'm reading a book. I can bring a book.
Oh, no. There's no books.
Gotta be done. If you want to talk about books, take your ass over to NPR.
I'm gonna get Andrew on the phone. He'll talk about a book.
No, he has answered our calls. Looking back on February here, what was the good stuff this month? Hit me with it.
Well, should we do video games into TV? Should we? What do you think? Let's start video.
Let's just pick one to start with, and we'll just see where God takes us.
All right. Well, yeah. I'll start with a video game. Persona 3 Reload came out on Game Pass, and I think PlayStation and Xbox. It's not in Switch yet. But I've been having a lot of fun. I'm in like August, so I'm like two thirds of the way through.
Nice.
Been really kind of plowing through the game. For those who don't know what Persona 3 is or the Persona series, it's a JRPG, turn-based combat. This game specifically, you're an emo kid in the year 2006 who's able to control these magical beings called personas. You fight shadows. You fight alongside your friends, an elementary school kid, a dog, and a homeless man. And that's pretty much the extent of the game. Here's what you need to know about the Persona series if you want to get into it. Number one, the turn-based strategy is immaculate. It's just like, it's so just satisfying. Just, you know, going and fighting these shadows, and Tartarus is where these shadows are located. The social aspect of the game is fun, but really the number one part of this game is the music. Like this game turns into Just Dance because I put the controller down and stand up and start dancing. It is like transcendent, the Japanese jazz fusion that they put in this series. But I've been really enjoying it. Great game. I definitely recommend it. Start there. Start with Persona 5. Flip-flop it. You really can't go wrong if this sounds interesting to you at all.
I'll co-sign Persona. I've only played Persona 3 Portable.
You got to play PSP Reload. One. It's a total overhaul.
I got to play it. I think I'll like it more because I played it after 5, and it's a good story. It's the most emo game I've ever played. It's so everything about it is super like
it's definitely a product of its time, which yes. is amazing. Amazing. Like we don't get enough like 2006 throwbacks yet. I feel like we haven't reached that point in our culture, but truly takes me back.
You summon a persona by shooting yourself in the head, which is some some the used bullshit.
Yeah,
it's great. It's got a good soundtrack. Yeah,
fun game.
They give a dog a sword.
Hell they do. Yeah.
Speaking of games, other game I want to talk about. Came out recently. It's been all over Twitter. It's been all over the gaming spaces. It's called Helldivers 2.
Yes, I have been seeing a lot of this. The capes, right? The
capes.
People in capes, yes.
Yeah, I want to play it so bad.
It's real. Unfortunately, the hot game of the month is very good. I know this happens sometimes, and sometimes it's like, you know, if you wait a little while, it'll pass. I never hopped on Lethal Company, but Helldivers 2 is definitely not Starship Troopers legally, but it is 100% a Starship Troopers game. It plays kind of like Left 4 Dead. They throw you in a squad of 4. It's pretty simple objectives of like just go here and blow this thing up, or go here and extract this thing, and then get back to the site. What's fun about Helldivers is that A, all of your supplies, all of your air support, all everything you get by throwing a beacon, and then a ship shoots the thing down at you. And number 2, friendly fire is on, and if someone gets in the way of your supply drop, it will kill them. And so you've got 4 people just throwing supply drops and air bombs and stuff, and if someone throws a grenade near you, you better run the hell away, because it will just blow your character. And then you can, when you die, someone else at the team has to throw a respawn drop to drop your new body down, but that can also kill someone if they're in the way of that. So, yeah, if you set up a turret and you're standing next to it, and then a bug pops up here and the turret turns on it, and you're in the way, you just get blown away. It's nice. You get 4 people and all of their artillery powers, and it just turns into chaos, and it's so fun.
Nice.
And I've seen a lot of footage from it, and it just looks like a blast. And I really hope it goes cross-platform soon, but I know they've been having trouble with the servers.
It's
because it's just PlayStation or something.
It's PS5 and PC.
Okay.
And it's crossplay, so if you do have one or the other, you can play with the other. So
I have literally the other 2.
I imagine it'll go somewhere else eventually. It's getting a lot of buy. It's like the number 1 game right now by a considerable amount.
Wow.
The competition is the Justice League game this month. So
and Pal World.
Pal World.
A true coworker game.
It's like if Bird Box was a game.
It's like, what do you mean you're playing Pal World? You're 27.
Did we lose Sean?
Sean was pondering Pal World too hard. And
what did I miss?
Just you cutting out.
It's catching up.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Chopping it up.
Can I talk about, since I haven't really played many games this month.
You would hate Wario World.
I haven't.
It's all mini games.
Mini games. Yeah, Wario World, I think during like a Discord server like watch about like a Nintendo Direct or something, I made a diss on Wario World because I don't know anything about it, and I thought it looked like a clip art game, and everyone got real mad at me. So
people like that game.
People Peyton, producer wife, she loves that game.
People get really defensive about, let me check my notes here, everything.
Yeah.
Kids today.
But I haven't been playing a lot of games, but I have been watching a lot of games. And not sports. Baseball's not back and for another several weeks. But I want to... There's such a plethora of great... I'm going to sound like Tyler here, but I know he could play. Hey. There's such a plethora
of
great reality TV. Take it as you will.
I'm going to sound like Tyler here for a second.
I killed a man. No Tyler, but... there's like currently on Peacock there's a show called The Traitors, which pits it pits a bunch of reality TV stars on the US version against each other in a game of like not quite the mole, but it's like mafia or werewolf. Very fun. The cast is both very predictable and unpredictable. Super fun to watch. Highly recommend if you do have Peacock, if you're like really clamoring for more Traitors. The season of Australia is fantastic. The finale had Peyton and I just screaming at the television in suspense. It was one of like the coolest and most suspenseful finales of a reality show we've ever watched. Highly recommend The Traitors.
It's a good show. It's my favorite show of the year, I think, so far. Really? Yeah. And Will, guess this accent. The Traitors.
I'll give you a hint. It's where the Wonka experience came from.
The Traitors.
Scottish?
Yeah, Alan Cummings, right? Good Alan Cummings.
I was going to say, did Alan Cummings hop on the call?
Right. It's hosted by Alan Cummings. Great. And it's got a fantastic cast. Like Sean said, it's just like the mafia. So essentially, it's a big group of people. They're all assumed faithful, except there are three traitors that have infiltrated the faithful. And so at the beginning of every episode, the traitors murder someone in secret, and then they have a challenge. And then at the end of the episode, the faithfuls all get at a round table and decide who they think a traitor is and kill off someone else. So it's really fun. It's a lot of social strategy. Like Sean said, it's on Peacock. It's amazing.
It's going to have me watching Big Brother and Survivor for sure. It's just the strategizing and all that is just, it's really addicting. And speaking of the American.
Do we lose him again?
Do this happen again? Now he's strangling someone.
now he truly traitor. Is like me. He's a traitor.
The traitor. I'm going to be saying that all night now. It's the what is that?
What is that? Do you have another recommendation on here that you can just do while Sean's figuring out his life?
We've both seen Ted. The only thing was Ted. Yeah.
Ted was good.
The sleeper hit.
I honestly was not planning on watching Ted until the clips went like...
Oh.
It all went viral on social, like all of the different like jokes and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, Seth MacFarlane, he could still write funny jokes.
Nobody cares. And,
yeah, exactly. And I ended up watching it. And I think I told you guys beforehand, like I was like embarrassed by how good it was. I was like, this there can't be my most favorite. Oh, hey, Sean, we're talking Sean's about
back.
Ted now.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I was like embarrassed. Like Ted cannot be my favorite show of the year. Like I need other good shows to come out because it is just so good. It's so funny.
Speaking of throwbacks to 2006, I feel like that kid in the neighborhood who's like, "Can you watch Family Guy? Are you allowed?" Hey, have you seen Ted? It's really good. We watched like over half of it, and like they're 40-minute episodes, which is a lot for a
shocking.
I feel like Ted is what like young Sheldon tried to be, which is like a kind of bizarre like parody of like a Growing Pains.
Yeah.
And I think the exterior shot of the Ted house is just the Leave It to Beaver house.
Is it?
If I read that correctly, yeah.
Did what that 90s show did not do. Painted the 90s in such an amazing, like, all of the references weren't corny and like, oh, remember Blockbuster? You know, that sort of shit.
Good. References take a distant second to the weird Ted humor, which is
Is this also on Peacock? Is Peacock
It is Peacock.
Randomly
yeah.
been like really good this at least this spring
They've
season?
They got both Oppenheimer and Tar. So damn.
Twisted Metal. Surprisingly good.
Season 2. Oh, that's right.
Oh.
That's on like my been perpetually on my watch list. I've heard it's good. Good for them.
Surprisingly good though.
I mean, for a video game adaptation, I liked it. It's like Zombieland humor, if you like that.
Okay. I hadn't heard you talk about it before.
I guess I think I talked about it like a little bit. Like I said, the first couple, and I was like, "Yeah, this is good."
Okay.
It's got some solid car combat, which is kind of what you want in that.
We nice. Do love it, especially with Twisted Metal, like that video game Twisted Metal.
It reminds me a lot of the video game Twisted Metal.
It's funny how it shares a name. Before I froze up there, I did want to talk about real quick another fascinating reality show, and I hope I freeze up again. On Netflix, there is a Korean game show, can't miss, man. It's called The Devil's
The Devil's Plan.
The Devil's Plan, thank you.
You can't miss it. It's called
The Devil's Plan. You gotta find it. Just look up The Devil on Netflix. You'll find it. It is a game show in which I want to say 12? Like the contestants are 12 of like purported to be some of the smartest citizens in like public eye. Like they get like scientists, they get like
professional
professional go player, like truly like brilliant people. They have like a K-pop singer. They're all very like purported to be extremely smart, extremely clever. And the games that they play, the first episode you're thrown in, they're like, all right, here's everyone. We're going to start the main challenge now. The rules for the main challenge take up, not exaggerating, I think 6 minutes.
Yeah.
To explain.
They play very, very complicated games.
They play very complicated versions of like, the main game is always like very complicated, very convoluted rules. And you're watching and you're like, this is one, hard to follow. Two, would never fly in the U.S. Like Peyton and I were like, what if they just put the current cast of the Traitors on this show? Like, what would Sheree do? You know, like, no. I don't know, no clue. But as the game gets going, they usually get about 2 hours for each game, like main event. You start to follow along and there are alliances formed. There's open strategizing. The editing is fantastic because they'll flash back to like key moments that you might have missed, or they'll like keep things from you and they'll finally reveal them in like the perfect moment. It's really cool. And then they'll go on like the person who earned, they work off of pieces. Like everyone starts off with one piece. As you do well in challenges, you gain more pieces. And like the first place in each game gets like 5 pieces, the second gets 4, and the third gets 3, that kind of thing. And as like people win, they gain more pieces, and you can give them out however you want. You can negotiate pieces with other players. But if you lose, you have to give up your pieces. And if you get to 0, you're out of the game. And so it's just like, it's a fascinating examination of like how people form relationships and how they strategize. It feels like, Tyler, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it feels like a Big Brother thing where there are cameras and angles all over the place. Sure. And it's just following everyone as they like go off to have secret discussions.
They live on the set.
They live on the set. It's just like a fascinating watch. Not only that, the set they build, which is both like they build the apartments for these people, these rooms, but they also have the massive like game room that has like mock-ups of like this like kitchen and strategizing room and all these places that are purely set, but they look like actual places that they can gather and strategize.
It's like a World War II bunker or something like that that they're in.
Not to mention, if you at the end of the game, the winners can decide who goes to prison for the night, and two players who
like actually
didn't lose all their pieces are just sent away in a secret hallway that's made to look like an old cave, like a cellar, and they go spend 18 hours from the end of one challenge to the beginning of the next. They're sent to like go to prison, and they just stay there, and they're given like small puzzles, but like
Calvin Ball. There's so many rules.
It is.
It's
a
lot. You have to go to the cave.
But once it gets going, you understand.
The cliffhangers they leave you on are just fantastic. The personalities are so, like, they're just like, oh, I love watching this. It's like you start finding your favorite people to cheer for. There are two challenges per day. There's the main challenge in which people win pieces or lose them or get sent to prison. And then at night, there's the prize challenge, I think, in which they're asked to do basic, like, very kind of like kindergarten tasks, like puzzles or memory challenges, or I haven't seen far past that, but it kind of reminds me, I know this gives the vibe, like, guy who's only seen Squid Game, but it seems directly inspired by Squid Game.
A lot of Squid Game vibes from this.
Yeah. Because
right,
they're playing, like,
it's in Korea too.
Yeah, and it's Korean, yeah. But they're playing, like, very simplistic games that we're all familiar with. But they're doing them for, like, huge stakes with, like, different alliances being formed. The cast is so much fun to watch. It's become extremely addicting. The first season's on Netflix.
They just announced the second one, too.
They did. That's right. The dub, not great. But I understand if you don't watch with the dub.
So
we've been watching.
What does this have to do with the devil's plan, which, as I understand it, is to put a woman in the White House?
That's like, he's like the narrator. It's like a guy in a hoodie with, like, a virtual, like, he's,
oh,
like,
hell yeah,
like he's like running the whole mask thing, like the whole, yeah. Sean was painting this, but the whole kind of thing is they're trapped in this, like, bunker, and they basically every day have to go and do this challenge, and then there's currency involved, and it's a very, very like Sean said, a convoluted game. It's very math coded. Like, it's a lot going on.
Does
but
the winner get, like, freedom? Like, what's the
the winner gets the prize pot. So essentially, they play two games. One is they're playing to add money to the prize pot, and the other is they're playing to keep their in-game credits, which kind of keeps them alive. You know, whoever's got the most credits is in first place and is going to win the prize pot and stuff like that. So
gotcha.
And if you lose your pieces,
it's money.
Yeah,
it's not like something crazy.
Yeah.
It's good. I recommend, like I said, watching The Traitors. And if you're like, whoa, this is for me, but I want to take three steps further, watch The Devil's Plan. Like,
it's like The Traitors is like the highlights, like, maze, you know, the highlights magazine maze you do in the dentist. Traitors is like Saturday New York Times. Devil's Plan Sunday is like Saturday New York Times crossword. It is like, I do not think this would translate to the U.S. And if they did, they'd have to dumb it down significantly. Because watching, like, hearing them explain all the different games for, like, all the different roles and rules for the Outbreak game was, I completely lost track. But as they get going, you kind of follow it. They even do, like, this one, the second game of where it's like, okay, we're all going to be playing a big board game. But before we start, you're going to have half an hour to come up. Here are all these word blocks. You come up with your own personal rules for the game, and we're going to play the game according to those rules. And it's just, like, fun watching people, like, strategize how they're going to make their, like, rules for this particular game. It gets very convoluted and very complicated, but it feels so satisfying as you're watching and following along.
Speaking of dumbing it down, have y'all watched a Mr. Beast video? This reminds me. I've never seen one, and I saw one on my Twitter feed that was like, I don't even know what he was doing. Those kids
were jumping buses?
Yeah, those kids got no chance. The kids are growing up watching this.
Open the schools.
Yeah. Have you seen the British Hell's Kitchen versus, or not Hell's Kitchen? Is it Hell's Kitchen? Yeah. Or Kitchen Nightmares versus the American Kitchen Nightmares, where the British Kitchen Nightmares is like, oh, I'm going to help you fix the kitchen. And the American one's like, and there's fire. Yeah. This is like 100 steps further. This is like if you took the devil's plan and were like, now put a strobe light in their eyes in case they don't look away.
I watched Jimmy's Squid Game video, and it was like, oh, this is probably going to be like a whole series, because I'm used to other like YouTubers like really milking it but making good content out of it. And like going into it, like, oh, I bet this is going to be like 2-3 hours long or whatever. I'll split it up. And it's just like 17 minutes. And immediately you're greeted with a guy that looks exactly like me. He's like, we put 250 people in a warehouse and they're all competing for like Squid Game. And he's just yelling at you.
It's like
one
of those.
One and I watched.
It's like a Major League Game meme. But just for 20 minutes. And it's just as loud and as bright as any video has ever been.
Mm-mm. It's just like, I don't.
Son.
Nothing against old Jimmy, but like, it's just so. The way they try to keep your attention is just baffling.
Every episode of Mr. Beast looks like that episode of Pokemon that put all those kids in the hospital.
Porygon one.
Classic.
He's not allowed to be depicted in the anime anymore.
They build kids different now. Those kids could the kids these days could definitely handle the epilepsy episodes of Pokemon.
They just have the episode and they sit back up and put on another episode of Mr. Beast. They just keep on trucking.
Yeah, I think our kids can tank epilepsy. Kids.
Truly.
Before we wrap up, can I talk about one more show?
Absolutely.
I have to talk about the show.
Yeah.
It is so good. Sean, I know you've seen it. Will, I don't know if you've seen it yet. Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime.
It's on my list.
It is, and dare I say, the hottest show that I have ever seen.
All right.
Donald Glover and Maya Erskine have no reason to be as hot as they are. And they are. That's really all I got to say about the show is they are the hottest people I think I've ever seen.
It's stylish. It's nothing like the movie that you're familiar with. Don't go in expecting spy thriller. It is much more just kind of sort of loose allegory for long-term relationships, but it's brilliant. And it's stylish.
The cameos every episode.
The cameos are insane.
They had James Bond.
Just like the first time they drop a cameo, you're like, how did they get this guy for it?
And yeah. They have like a James Bond style chase through an old Italian village that I would rival with, put it up against any spy movie that's come out in the last 10 years. It is like the quality of like that this series is through the roof. It's really, really great.
I know Sean was talking about how'd they get this person in like a famous way, but I was thinking just like, how'd they get B. Arthur?
Propped her up. They AI'd all the Golden Girls into it.
When did they shoot this?
They boyhooded Mr. and Mrs. Smith. but yeah, it's I'll absolutely co-sign with Tyler. It's on Amazon Prime. It fucking whips. I hope there's a season 2 so bad.
When are they going to make a streaming service that's just like 2011 Netflix? When it was just the only place to watch every TV show?
Never again.
Yeah.
Remember that? We're still getting DVDs and you're like, yeah, I'll try the streaming, the free trial it comes with. And you load it up and every show you'd ever heard of was on Netflix.
That's how I watched Mad Men for the first time. Mm. And you get so excited for House of Cards. Yeah. I know we're approaching it and we're only talking about the good stuff.
We've been away.
Can I make one baddish?
Hit us with that baddish.
Avoid with your whole life the new season of True Detective. Oh my god.
Yeah. Interesting.
Here's the thing. I am not taking this from like the populist male online stance of like, oh, it's women now, it's bad. That's a bullshit take. I'm not saying that. It has Jodie Foster. It has Callie Reese. They're both talented actors. They're in it. They're talented. The show itself is key jingling fan service and is one of the most condescending pieces of shit I've ever watched. It's the worst thing I've seen HBO.
That's what I've heard.
It's so bad.
Hell yeah.
It's just like for a detective show, every piece of evidence, of compelling evidence for the case that they're solving, which I think they spend maybe 2.5 episodes working on. Every piece of evidence is brought in from an outside character, just like off screen. Like, hey, look, we found this. And they look at it and they go, oh, wow. And they hand it back and they're like, I'm going to go commiserate with my sister now. And they do the same thing over and over. It's a show that you could literally watch the first episode and then skip straight to the finale, and you have not missed a thing. You have not missed a single thing. And for them to have the audacity, the gall to be like, we're going to, like, they tie it back to season one of True Detective, which is truly, I think we can all agree, one of the greatest seasons of television ever made. Seasons two and three of True Detective.
Interesting.
No, season
they're
one.
Fine. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine.
They follow the best show ever. But
they, yeah. But season four is just like, oh, we're going to mention Russ Cole's dad. We're going to mention the Tuttles again. One character is going to say time is a flat circle to no end. There's no point. There's no
Zaslav.
It's truly just like, it seems to be like a tribute show, but they got all the wrong ideas from the first season. It really sucks too, because like I said, the cast seems talented, the set dressing, the whole like mood, the thing that kept us coming back was like, yeah, this like town in Alaska that's, it has like 30 days of night or however, like the sun doesn't rise, and this creepy like sci-fi spooky crime happens in a science lab, like I'm excited to find out what happens. And in order to figure out what A to B, you have to sit through five episodes of nothing happening, no detective work at all. It was truly baffling. It was baffling that HBO has put it out under the True Detective name. Two, renewed it. Three, many renowned critics loved it and said it was the best season since season one, or it gave the finale that True Detective deserved, saying that the season one finale wasn't good enough. Bullshit.
One of the best finales. And also,
Issa Lopez, the showrunner, seems to just be taking all of the criticisms, and people are like, what the fuck did this mean? Just in stride. She's just like, fuck you. It meant it's this, whatever. And it's just like, you, like, how does this going on? It's please avoid. Watch. If you're looking for a really good HBO detective show to the scale of True Detective season one, watch Mayor of Easttown. I feel like it's an unsung HBO crime drama. Mayor of Easttown and Sharp Objects are both fucking fantastic. And those are female-led and cast and directed. So, yeah.
I kind of like that HBO is failing while FX is putting out the most expansive TV show since Game of Thrones. Like, FX has deserved its flowers since Legion. And super happy. Yeah, Shogun is airing now on FX. And I've caught the first episode. I'm catching the second episode tonight. I didn't know it was a remake. I did know it was a book. But I have been grabbed. Like, it has my attention. Consider it fully in the hands of the producers at FX. It's going to be a fun one. I'm super excited. That'll probably be next episode talking about it.
I have a go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Sean.
I have a bad habit of starting FX shows recently of like, oh yeah, we'll watch The Bear, or we'll watch the new season of Fargo, or Murder at the End of the World. All shows ostensibly, which we should, you know, adore and love, we'll watch the first couple episodes and just not finish it. Shogun, I'm vowing to stay with, because I'm just fascinated to see. FX truly does have the movies and the TV shows.
I have a bad
HBO has David Zaslav. Oh yeah, please.
But unlike Sean's, I'm gonna fully endorse it. Everyone needs to go see this terrible thing. It's probably been talked about a lot on podcasts, but we saw Madam Web
in the theaters,
and it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's a truly unique movie in that you can't try and make a movie that bad. I don't know what happened, but none of the cast of this movie should ever act again. The man who plays the villain should probably go to jail. Not even just... he's gives the worst performance I've ever seen in my life, and it is 100% ADR'd. He did not use a single line from his onset reading. It's like it was written by ChatGPT. It's like it was written by someone with no concept of how the world works.
unknown was there.
There's a scene where she kidnaps three girls off a subway. The NYPD tries to stop. Oh, but there's not a single superhero in this. The theme of the movie is superhero movie. Like, it's not a superhero movie. It just has that je ne sais quoi. The thing with them being Spider Women does not happen. That is a possible future that she sees. So they're just gals, and she kidnaps them. The NYPD in 2003 tries to stop her and does not, and so she gets away. They make it to a diner. There's a man reading a copy of the New York Post with her face on it, saying abducting children. Maybe 2 hours after the event. The New York Post was cooking that day when they got this newspaper to print and in this man's hand. It just, and then while she's still wanted for child kidnapping, she goes, I'll be back in a week. I have to go to Peru to learn the exposition. And she gets on a plane to Peru. Producer Pri looks at me and goes, how'd she get on a plane? She's wanted for kidnapping in 2003 in New York City. Like the most intense security there would ever be at the airport. And she gets on an international flight to Peru. Lands,
out of the country.
Yeah, she's mad at her mom for investigating spiders in the Amazon when she was 9 months pregnant. She then, a man who we don't know, appears and is like, I'm going to tell you what happened. And he punches her in the chest, so she astral projects. Not introduced, just surprise. And it goes to the back, and her mom finds out that there's a magic spider. And I'm spoiling so much of this movie, but you just got to... Don't. It's the joy of this movie is just watching the people try and sell this movie. the doctor says your baby's going to be born with a neurological disorder, and Dakota Johnson looks at the camera and says, "But I don't have a neurological disorder." It is the most. Because we don't know that she doesn't have that unless she told... It's the most... But Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community. but totally straight-faced. It's incredible. It's just so many things in the script are just like, well, that's not how that works. And it's like someone who's just never been out in society, never ridden a plane, never... She steals... an ambulance and a taxi, two tracked vehicles, and is not caught. She hits the bad guy with a car at least three times. That's the only thing you can do if you're not a superhero in a superhero movie, is run this poor man over. It's amazing. So good. Watch it. Watch it the day it hits streaming. Watch it in theaters so they make another one.
I saw someone post a clip of like Dakota Johnson's best line rings, and Will, I am gonna say, I'm gonna disagree with you. I think Dakota Johnson needs to be in everything. I think obviously there's no stopping the Sydney Sweeney storm, but I think I'm such a fan of Dakota Johnson. But someone posted a clip,
she's terrible,
of like all
this.
Of her best line readings.
She's awful.
It felt like a best of I Think You Should Leave compilation. Like, there are truly some amazing line readings. I cannot wait to watch this movie.
I don't think she's in on it. I think she actually just did a terrible job.
I think from what I've gleaned, I think she thought she was signing up for a Disney MCU movie, and when she found out she was not, she's like, whatever, I'm gonna get that check. And she gave like 15%, and that's what we got.
I don't know.
She seems fun in the press tour. She seems great.
It's incredible. It's gonna be a staple of like drinking games and like, oh, it's 11 o'clock, put on Madam Web. We've all had a couple of beers.
Connects us all.
It's awful. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. The theater was silent the entire time.
Man. As you know, but every year starts that way, where you got to get a couple stinkers out, and then Then you get gross. Stuff the yeah. You get stuff the caliber of Dune Part 2, baby.
You got to get cats out of the way.
You got to get cats out of the way. Yeah.
No, it's Radish and Badish, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Chainsaw Man still popping off. One Piece definitely popping off. I'm about to catch up with Oshinoko, and I'll come with a report on that.
Please do. I want to hear all about that on the next episode of Radish.
Yes, which we'll record on this schedule the next leap day.
Next February 29th.
Yep. Became a leap day only podcast.
God. We have to put up some serious numbers to get sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys want to do your little plugs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We do that here.
I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. I've been Sean. You can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter. Have we recorded since, like...
Yes, that was in July.
July.
Okay. I forgot whether we did jokes about that or not. Either way, I'm on Twitter at Sean from Radish. I don't post much often. It was mostly anger tweets about True Detective, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm also letterboxed Sean M. Barry. That's my most favorite now.
I'm on... Tyler goes last. I was trying to be a gentleman. I forgot that you always close us out. I forgot everything. Who this is not my beautiful house.
Who am I?
I'm Will. You can find me at Will from Radish on X.com and Will from Radish on Twitter.com too, because the link still works.
Oh. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. It's Twitter.com. I'm on twitter.com/TylerFromRadish if you're using web browser. Or on Instagram at HeyTylerMank. That's my my Instagram. So,
hey, Tyler Mank.
Hey. Yeah, that's it.
Great.
Well, we will see you guys on February 29th.
On the flippity flop.
Next time.
2028. And we're looking forward to the next Summer Olympics. And
during the Los Water Angeles? Wars.
LA. LA, baby.
We're getting two presidential funerals on the same day.
Whoop. Bye.
But yet, we have no bananas. We have no bananas.